is so good. We're excited. I'm excited about the things of today, but I say that every Sunday, amen? Because you know why? I'm going to be talking about God today. And I'm going to be talking out of our Bible today, amen? The one rock that we stand on that no man can change, no man can alter. Give him praise this morning, church.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Stay standing. Miss Jean's going to sing hymn number 263. This is my Father's will.
I got it right today, G. Hang on. What a lovely song. Thank you.
Of the spheres. This is my father. of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds, the cows raise, the morning light, the lilies ripe, declare the Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He finds it all that's right. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, may I never forget that although wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. Amen.
God is so good. Thank you all the time. Yeah, well, there you go. It's nice to have Marilyn and Chuck back with us. I miss them. I know y'all do, but I miss them. It's my friend Chuck. It's always good to. I'm so glad they're sitting here with us this morning. Psalm 15 is what we've chosen to read today. Read with me. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, shall never be moved. Isn't that a beautiful story? Isn't that a beautiful promise? I think it is. I think in this book, brothers and sisters, we have so many promises to hold on to. How many would rather have God's promises over man's promises? How many want to stand on the rock that's called this Bible? Or would you rather read somebody else's book that decided they want to interpret this book in a different way so they can have different rules and regulations? I don't know about you, but I want to stand on this rock. I want to know this word. I want to know God this way. I don't want to know God man's way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Let me read that again. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and how long? Forever. Do we need somebody else to explain that to us? Is there something that we've missed in that translation? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what we can trust on. I want to trust God. I want to trust this word with everything that I have inside of me. Can I have another amen?
Amen.
This week, Doreen and I and Madison visited a family, and we visited the man's father in his last minutes of life. And we went and we sat next to him and we laid hands on him and we prayed. He wasn't really there with us. He was breathing, but he wasn't really there with us. But we were there for the family. We were there for the sons and the other people in the house, the family. And we tried to give them hope. We tried to give them understanding that this journey that their father was taking is we're all a journey that we're all taking. And we have promises with God that are so great and wonderful that we want to know them. We want to believe believe them. We want to trust God. And we sang, my wife sang Amazing Grace while he lay there sleeping. And she told him that God has forgiven you and Jesus has forgiven you. And we tried to give the family the comfort that you all have in this book. The joy that you all have. How many know that Jesus isn't just for salvation? I mean, salvation is a great idea. And it's a beautiful thing for us. But he wants us to have joy today. Imagine that. God wants you to have joy today. That's why he gave us this book. And that's why we tried to give them some peace in a time of sadness in their life where they couldn't understand peace. Because God's word cuts through all that. And we were so blessed. They've been waiting for him to pass on. And we were so blessed. We got a phone call an hour and a half later that said, thank you. Our father has passed on. And the peace that the Lord's word that we gave them, not what we gave them, but what God's word gave them, carried them through and lifted them up. And they could not thank us enough for sharing that. And that's the gift of knowing God. That's the gift that you all have. You all been called to tell people about God. Greg, you've been called to tell everybody about Jesus. Give somebody hope that doesn't have the hope because you have it. That's the gift. And that's what we tried to share. And that was a really, really difficult time to be there, and it was very difficult for Madison, but she came and she stood there and she watched, and it really affected her. But she got to see God's word. She got to see God moving. She felt it in her heart. She felt the sadness and the joy at the same time. Imagine being 13 and learning that, and what a beautiful lesson for her, because that's our gift from God. That's if you hold on to this book and nobody else's, and you hold on to the Bible, you have these truths and you have these things that God has told us that we can stand on the rock. How many want to stand on that rock? It's in this book. That's the rock that we stand on. This book right here has all that we need. Can you say that with me? All that we need. He hasn't changed from the day one in the beginning. He is still the same. Amen. So let's pray together that we all receive this book and we receive God this morning, and with the joy that he wants you to have on this beautiful day. The sun is shining. It might rain later, but who cares? We need the rain. We're going to have joy today in our families being together and our loved ones. Any chance you have to share with the people, share it with love and kindness and joy. Give them a reason. Give them a hope that you have, because that's the God of the Bible. That's what we believe and that's who we love. So share that today. Share it knowing that you carry a power inside of you that the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't believe it, but you believe it because you know this God. You know this Jesus. So share that word. Share that joy. Be that joyful person. Be strong. No matter what you're facing, be strong in the Lord and let them see that strength, because it brings healing, not only to them, but to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, Lord. Thank you, girls. Church says, amen. Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. Those of you that love God, listen to what it says in Hebrews. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. He said, no matter what you're going through, walk in faith, walk in strength. Have that attitude of strength. Whatever you're facing, it will add healing to your body. It would add healing to those around you. Those are the promises of God. When we do things according to God, we become healed in so many ways. How many know that peace is healing, and tranquility is healing, and love is healing? All those beautiful things God has blessed us with that we possess. Give him praise, church. I'm excited today. How many times have I said that, Don? Thank you, Lord. He picked 12 men. 12 ordinary men. He picked fishermen. He picked a tax collector. He picked ordinary men. He passed over the elite. He picked these men. He prayed with these men. He walked with these men. He taught these men. He called them to do one thing. What was the one thing he called them to do? Tell the world about me when I'm gone. Tell the world about the miracles that I did. Tell them what you saw. Tell them what you heard. Spread the word about me. Give these people hope. He could have called you, Jim, the farmer. He could have called Jim, a farmer, said, tell the people my word. You're one of the 12. He could have called Sergio, said, Sergio, you're one of the 12. He could have called you today. Amen. George, you're a fisherman. Chuck, you're a fisherman. Marilyn, you're a fisher person. He could have called you today. That's who he called. He called 12 people to spread the word. About who? Him. Hallelujah. About his love and all the miracles. He called us. So he's called us all here today to do the same thing. Amen. Ordinary people. Maybe that word doesn't sound right, but people that aren't of the elite. Why didn't he call the elders of the church? Why didn't he call the Pharisees? Why didn't he? Because they were already in their own mind. They weren't listening. They weren't seeing. They weren't receiving. So he called those who would receive and who would share it. Imagine that. This is Jesus. How he picked the 12. Great men? Well, they are today, but they weren't great then. They were normal, living people, living their life. And he found people who would listen and let it enter. Amen? And I ask you this. What did God forget to tell us? Because there's things in this Bible. People say, well, that's not quite right anymore. What did he forget to tell us? Somebody discovered something new? I don't think he forgot to tell us anything, do you? I don't think he missed anything. How many mistakes do you think he made in this Bible? How many mistakes do you think your pastor made starting at 8 o'clock this morning? That's what I'm telling you. Thank you. Amen. That's exactly right. But he didn't make any when he wrote this, when he gave men this word. Moses wrote the first 5 books, and he talked about God. How many gods? One God. One, and the Gospels, who do they talk about? Who? Jesus. How many Jesus? One. Love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That's it. How do you interpret that? How do you separate all that? What happens to people? What happens to people? They get involved and they put their mark on this book and they decide, well, maybe God was, he didn't understand what was going to happen in 2019. Really? Nobody ever read Sodom and Gomorrah, I guess. Nobody ever read about Jonah. Nobody ever read the stories in the Old Testament. Oh, he must not understand how people have changed since they wrote this book. I don't think so. I don't want any man telling me that God missed it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that life. I want to live with God knowing that he didn't miss it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So who makes the rules? When somebody interprets the Bible differently now, who makes the rules? Who gets to say the rules? Who gets to change the rules? Other men. There's one ministry right now in the world that 2 people created back in the 1800s. How many people? 2. And they fought against each other, and guess what happened? They split up. So which one's wrong? Which one's right? Who are you going to follow? I'm going to follow this. I'm going to follow Jesus. He doesn't split up. He wants his people to be one people. How many people? He wants his people to be one. He wants the church to be united. He didn't name a church in this Bible. Understand that. He never named a church in this Bible. Being a Christian is not a religion. It's a belief. And we believe in how many gods? How many sons? How many Holy Spirits? That's all. How can you interpret that any differently? Amen? I love this book. I'm going to let John borrow it. John, I meant to call you this week. I had something I wanted to share with you. Good to see you. Thank you, brother. Everybody say hi to John. Thank you. I want to read you part of a speech. And you're going to say, Larry, Pastor, you're talking politics. And I want you to stay with me, okay? Because I'm going to turn this politics into religion, if you'll trust me. Will you trust me for a few minutes? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This gets me excited. And this is what this man said. I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Now listen, I understand that you're all going to laugh and smile and you're going to think, but I want you to listen to what he's saying. I'll read it again. I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. This spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its roots in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed, but in those of the popular form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly the worst enemy, their worst enemy. Let me get their worst enemy. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries have perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. I know, right? Say that word with me. Despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns the disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberties. And he goes on to say, without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, and then he says, which nevertheless ought not to be entirely out of sight, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest of and the duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. It serves always to distract the public's counsel and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corporations and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of a party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and the will of another. Hallelujah. Anybody know who wrote that, who said that? George Washington. Let me read one more paragraph, if I may. Of all the dispositions and habits would lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. What kind of supports? Indispensable. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and to cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religion obligation desert the oaths, which are the instruments of an investigation in courts of justice? And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Let me read that, isn't that beautiful? Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. Hallelujah. Amen. George Washington, talking about parties, talking about from day one how the parties could destroy the nation, could destroy the people by picking sides and starting stories and having the mind of revenge and having to want to get even and having to have one over the other person. And I always say that it depends on whose mouth some words come out of, how many people support it. You see that every day on television. Can I have an amen? Well, let me tell you something. It might be there in politics, but it's even worse in religion. How many understand that the politics and the parties of religion are separating us? How many people are we supposed to be? One people under God. We're supposed to be united under God. Yet you got people who claim to love Jesus and yet separate themselves from us. That should not be. How is that? Because we have parties and religion. We have names that we give our religion. And all of a sudden that name becomes more important, just like parties become more important than the reality and the truths of life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. George Washington. I'm going to read from Ephesians. Hallelujah. Listen to me read. And he himself, God himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gave that for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why did he make teachers and prophets? To unite the body of who? Christ. Why did he make teachers? To unite the body of Christ. To bring us together. Amen? There was no party here. There was no discussion of a different religion. There was one God, one Jesus. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect, hallelujah, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. One God, one book, one Jesus. This is God's intention. This is our Father's intention that we learn this book. We have prophets, people that call themselves prophets. How many have ever heard that? People have called themselves teachers. Other people have called themselves pastors and started churches. And what did they do? The first thing they do is decide, well, I want to add something to this book, or I want to subtract something, or I want to put something else in this book. It really isn't in this book, but I interpret it that it should be in the book. Who would you trust? I want to read from this book. I want us to know what this book says about God. I want us to understand that we stand on one rock, not many rocks. And I must tell you that I did some studying this week and it made my spirit hurt. I started looking up different people who profess to love Jesus, and I started reading what they taught and reading that they all had a book. They all had another book. Whatever religion you're talking about had another book. And I'm thinking, what is the other book for? Why did God forget to tell us something, that you had to write another book to tell us how to serve him, how to love him, how to be one? I read one of the stories that says, we're not welcome. We're not welcome. If we're not part of them, we're not going to associate with you people because you're sinners. That's what it said. We're not going to associate with you because we want to be careful to not associate with sinners. Boy, I tell you what, if I remember right, who did Jesus associate with? Every sinner he could find, giving them hope for tomorrow. I remember the story when Jesus is with Matthew, the tax collector, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priest said, what's he doing over there eating with that guy? Doesn't he know he's a sinner? Doesn't he know the kind of man he is? Yet there's a religion that says, don't sit with sinners. Don't associate with them. Separate yourself. I say, where is that in this book? Where are those parties? What are they doing to God? Churches should be full of people. We should all be feeling the same way. Whatever church we're going in that says Jesus on it, we should be feeling the same way. But we're not, are we? Tell the truth. I have to tell the truth. I started reading and I had to close it. I had to close it. I had to turn my computer off because my spirit started to feel dirty. I read these books and I started seeing the names. One of them is the New World Translation of the Holy Scripture. The New World Translation of the Holy Scripture. That's their book. Another book is the Book of Mormons. They have their own book. And all these churches, and I'm thinking, time out. What about this book? What about the Bible? What about God's Word? What about truth? What about love and forgiveness? What about hope? What about how confused can people be? And the worst part of it, just like in politics, people become your enemies, Sergio. People who love Jesus because you don't go to their denomination. They don't like you. You're not welcome. You're not part of it. How can that be? And same thing with the parties and the politics that we have. Families aren't talking to each other because they're not the same party. They got the same blood running in their veins, but because one's a Democrat and one's a Republican, oh, I ain't talking to you no more. Oh, you voted for that guy, you voted for that lady, I'm not talking to you anymore. That's exactly what George Washington said would happen if we followed his thing about parties. We have these jealousies, and I always say people feel strongly both ways. For whoever party's in power, that's what... But it's the same way in church, and it should not be that way. We have one book. Everything that I read that gives me hope and gives me strength says that the pastor of the church, the preacher of the church, should read from this book every Sunday. He should read from this book every Sunday to let you know what God is saying. The most important book that we have is the Bible. God didn't miss anything. He hasn't forgotten anything. He hasn't done, but he wants us to be one. I pray with you. I pray for you. Last week we prayed together that your families would pray together and say, look, we love Jesus. Can we start over? Can we go back to day one when we just loved him? Loved him for who he was. And not loved him for the way other people tell us to love him. And not loved him under other people's rules. Amen? Who wants to love him under people's rules? I don't know that I could pray for that. What are you talking about? Is there anything you couldn't ask your father for when you were a child? Of course not. This is God in heaven calling us to be one. And he called 12 people, just like you all, to spread what word? His word. He sent out the disciples to talk about who? Jesus. He wrote the Gospels to talk about who? Jesus. Was there original religion in there? No. Was there a party in there? No. It was one God, one rock that we stand on. Hallelujah. You know what destroys our lives? You know what the tool of the devil? Hate. Anger, tension, and strife. Those are the tools of the devil. That's what separation does. That's what jealousy does. That's what animosity does. That's when people just pick and choose and say, you're not part of me for whatever reason. Hate, anger, tension, and strife. You know what heals our bodies? Love, devotion, friendship, and care for all. Hallelujah. Care for all of us. One of the men that Jesus picked was a zealot. Right, Elder? His name was Simon. He was a zealot. A zealot is somebody who has just tremendous desire for a particular cause. Whatever that cause is, that's all he focuses. That's his thing. And he picked Simon the zealot. And he said, you know, this guy's like that. If he can be like that for me. And then I started thinking, now, this isn't in your Bible, but I was praying, I'm thinking there's another zealot in the Bible also. They don't call him that. But the more I started to read, do you know who I'm talking about, Nancy? His name is Paul. If there was another zealot for God, somebody who was just wanting you to know about God, and that's all he cared about, it was Paul. Because first Paul wanted to murder all the Christians. He wanted to get rid of everything Christian. He wanted those people gone. And then he met Jesus on that road to Damascus, and what happened to him? He became the person that wrote most of our New Testament. He became a zealot for Jesus because he was the only care he had was telling you about Jesus. Not about some religion, not about some other laws, not about some other interpretation. He just told you about Jesus, how you can succeed, how you can have good success, how you can live, how you can treat others. That's what Paul did for us, so that we could be how many bodies? One. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it one more time and I'll let you go. I love this. Ephesians 4:11. Now that you hear all that, picture it with God. Picture it with God. Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, and he gave some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Here's why. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Oh, that we could get to the basics of God again. Oh, that you can forget everything you thought you knew and just come to God again. Oh, that you could wake up this morning and say, you know what? I want Jesus. I want Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. I want Him to lead me. I want Him to teach me. That's all I want. I don't want to be taught by men. I don't want any dissension. I don't want any division. I want God. I want God the way the Bible tells me, so I have a rock to stand on. I want to know Him. I want to love Him, because every promise in that Bible is for me. God loves me and He gave me those promises. Oh, that we could begin over again and talk to our families and our friends and just say, stop. Just stop the noise. Stop the nonsense. It's God that matters. It's Jesus that matters. It's that Bible that matters. Put away all those other books. Put them away. They're not from God. They're from man. Let God lead us. If there's some truth in it, great. If there's some truth in something else, great. As we read this morning from Washington, if there's some truth in it, great. But our standing is not there. It's with Jesus. And He said that we could not separate our religion and our morality with the world. We have to have God in all that we do. We have to pray that the world hears from God, that the people that we put in power hears from God, and they follow God. That's the only way we can be safe. But we need to pray with others. We need to lift each other up, because God intended for us to be one family under God. That's what He intended us for be. And if you just go back and love Him again, start everything that you thought you knew, just go back and love Him again. Remember that again. Remember that love. Remember that feeling. Remember that joy. Remember that He's there with you always. He never forsakes you. He hears every prayer. He has been with you every step of the way. Just go back and start loving Him again. He said to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. That's the rule. That's the law. That's all He asks. Just love Him. Love Him. Let families be reunited again. Forget parties. Love Him. Forget the things that divide us and come back and be together, because then your family will be stronger, your home will be stronger, and your church will be stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name, give Him praise, church. Hallelujah. He called 12 ordinary people. He called you, Dave. Chuck, He called you. Art, He called you. He called you because He loves you. He called you because He trusts you to tell others simply about Him. You don't have to give them a story. Just tell them about Jesus. He trusted those people to just tell them about Him. Tell the story of what they saw, what they were what part of, what words He said. He's calling us today to do greater things. We can do them. We can do them together as a church and as individuals. We can make this church greater and greater if we just follow this book, follow His ways, and follow His love. And things will happen in your life, and it'll bring you joy, and you'll share that joy with others, and their joy will just increase. When you do good things for other people, you feel it too. When you do something kind to somebody else, give something to somebody else, you feel it too. You feel that joy inside of you, and that joy, it just continues to flow. And let that joy flow today. Let God move you today. Find somebody you need to talk to today. Pray with somebody today you haven't prayed with. Talk to somebody you love today. Say, look, can we just start over? Because we need our family to be strong. We need to be dedicated to God. One God, with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. Let's just move closer to God. Let God lead us. Let God lead you. Let God be who He said He is, because He loves you. Give Him praise, church. Some people do this once a year. Okay. Some people do it once a week. okay? I say to you, do it as many times as you want to. Because what you're doing, when we call it the Lord's Supper, when you're doing it in your home, you're doing it at the restaurant, anywhere you want, do it unto God. Anytime you do something, do it unto God. He will hear, He will see that. In this church, we choose to do it every Sunday in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name. I ask you to pray this morning and thank Him. Thank your Father in heaven. Talk to God. Just rejoice and have that joy, that happiness inside of you. Say, help me, Lord, to teach others, to give this, what I have today, to other people, especially those I love the most. Talk to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. To be thankful for today, children, so much. The joys of the day, the plans that you have for later, so many wonderful things in your life. Just give Him thanks for those. Give Him thanks for the simplest pleasures that you have, and you'll start to see the greater ones start to emerge right in front of you. When you see the small things and you keep seeing the small things, then you realize there's bigger things around you. Hallelujah. See what God's doing in your life today. See what that Bible means in your life today, in your heart today. Rejoice that you can trust every word in that book because they're from God. Thank you, Lord. We choose to do this every Sunday in our church, where we remember simply what Jesus did on that cross for us. The Last Supper. He passed the bread after He blessed it, and He broke the bread, and He said, "This is my body being torn for you." He said, "Eat and do this in remembrance of me." Took the wine and poured it into a cup and said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." For anyone who will believe in His name, anyone who would love Him, anyone who would call on Him, were the remission of our sins saved by the blood of Christ. And He asked that we do this in His memory. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us of our iniquities this week, Lord. Cleanse us so we can receive. Cleanse us, Lord, from our sins of the week, our shortcomings of the week, the words, attitudes, anything we may have had, Lord. Anything, Lord, you just know of us, Lord. Help us. Cleanse us this morning as we take the sacrament of your blood, Lord. We take it very seriously to be covered by the blood of Christ. No man has given it to us. No other book has given it to us. No religion has given it to us. You have given it to us through your Son. Let us rejoice in this miracle of miracles. Thank you, Lord, that no man can take away. No man can take away from us what Jesus did for us on that cross. Once for all. Thank you, Lord. Church we could have if every church believed simply in Jesus and that Bible. men just get out of the way, got their egos out of the way and their flesh out of the way, and determination for power and for structure. Just get out of the way and let God lead us. What a great ministry we would have for the world. What a great ministry we would have for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for this week's of iniquities, Lord. Cleanse us as we receive. He poured the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you, according to the book of Matthew, for the remission of your sins." In Jesus' name. It is God who forgives. It is God who justifies. It is God who calls us out to preach His word, to tell others. It is God who leads us. It is that book that guides us. "This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night, and do according to all that is written. Then I shall have good success. Then I shall prosper." In Jesus' name, that book. Give Him praise, church.